Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
To the Bowden Blitz SEC edition. I'm Joe Lisi, joined by former National Coach of the Year, Terry Bowden. Coach, in week number three within the SEC, the games were amazing, right down to the wire, fantastic finishes. We'll talk about the updated conference odds entering week number four. Georgia, with their win over Tennessee, is the front runners right now at plus 260. But just give me your overall thoughts about what transpired within the SEC in week number three.
Well, I mean, the one thing that we're going to have to talk about down the road, LSU continue to win. They're ranked right at the top, but they still lack a little of something. You only have to go back and compare them to their national championship team in 2019 to see they've got to do a few more things, but they're still right there on top. Alabama working their way back up with the easy win over Wisconsin. And, of course, Texas, although they, too, like LSU, are both those teams very, very talented, but still not playing quite as well, especially offensively, as we expect them to play. And that's one of those things that it'll have to transpire as a season. But you got to say Georgia up top with that win and Alabama working their way back up.
Yeah, we'll see and talk about Alabama later in the week. But the win for Georgia came down right down to the wire in overtime. It wasn't easy. We had talked about Georgia's dominance over Tennessee in recent years. Entering that game on Saturday afternoon, the Bulldogs had won eight straight in the series. They've won the last four by an average margin of victory of 20 points per game over the last four meetings. In the second quarter, Coach, they were hit with a few haymakers by Joey Aguilar and the Tennessee Volunteers. But credit Kirby Smart, credit Gunnar Stockton. They made plays, made adjustments in the second half, and they pull it out 44-41 in OT.
Well, I tell you, we found two things out. Both quarterbacks can play. There was no problem with either quarterback, and I was impressed with both. Joe Aguilar, to me, added the one thing that Tennessee has lacked for the last 3 years. He hit the deep ball. You know, he hit two deep balls. And, you know, he didn't overthrow him. I love the Bobby Bowdenism that there's two absolutes in sports that are never changed. Short putts never go in, and overthrown footballs never get caught. He threw two deep balls that were short a little bit. His guys went up, caught them, scored. But that was one of the things that they needed. But this was definitely a situation where both quarterbacks threw the ball. It was more passing for Georgia than you could imagine. But you know what? When it came down to the very end, besides the field goal that was missed, and special teams were a factor in every major game this year, including Georgia Tech, including Texas A&M, and including this game, a made or missed field goal or something else is a factor. Georgia still rushed for more yardage. They had 82 plays compared to 70, and they had about eight more minutes in time of possession, which kept Tennessee off the field because they would have scored even more. When it boiled down to it, Georgia still was able to do what they have to do, run the football better than the other team, get the first downs, be on the field, and that's kind of what they did to beat a Tennessee team that, man, I think they're back as well with that offense that they showed.
I agree with that, and I think Joey Aguilar is a complete upgrade from where they were with Nico last year. We talk about the tempo, the ability to run plays quickly and potentially wear down the Georgia front seven. They had a 21-7 first half lead. The rushing attack opened up. All of a sudden, you saw Joey Aguilar attack that secondary over the top. He throws for 371 yards, four touchdowns, two interceptions. And all of a sudden, as the game played out, it was like, is Tennessee going to put up a 50 spot on that Georgia defense? But Credit Kirby Smart. They made in-game adjustments. All of a sudden, they started to get some stops. And I think the biggest thing is Georgia in the fourth quarter trails by 8 points. Gunnar Stockton throws a dime, Coach. Yes. He throws for 304 yards, two tutties. The touchdown pass in the fourth quarter was an absolute dime. Perfect ball placement. They go for two. They convert. And all of a sudden, Georgia was playing with house money and the momentum, which allowed them to pull it out.
And I think that game is a great example of what we analysts have to be careful of when we say, boy, that team can't play offense. That team is too conservative. Great coaches, when they're up against a team and the other team is hot like Georgia, the play calling that Bobo had, it was different. We're not going to win this game by just sitting on the ball. We got to go after them. And I think that's what you might see at LSU down the road. A lot of these coaches, when they're defensive-minded, when they're winning by 14 points or a few points, they'll play conservative because that's the way they win ballgames. But when you know you're in a slugfest, when you know you're in a scoring contest like Georgia was, they put the pedal to the metal and they went after it. And I think that's what Georgia showed they were able to do. That I don't know, they couldn't do that last year. They couldn't do it. They didn't run the ball well enough, and the quarterback had to do too much. But they've showed they can mix up that offense awful good against a very good Tennessee team that's been very good on defense.
I agree. And we talked about the rushing attack, 198 yards against the Volunteers. Even though it was only 3.6 yards per carry, they ran it effective. Nate Frazier with the big run in overtime to set up the touchdown to allow Georgia to pull it out. The wide receivers for Georgia as well. London Humphreys, the big touchdown catch. Colby Young steps up. The USC transfer, Zachariah Branch, another solid performance. All of a sudden, this wide receiver core is starting to come into form, and it's not just a rushing attack for Georgia. We saw the passing attack be more consistent, especially in the second half.
Well, it's not that you throw the ball more often. It's that you make great plays. Great players make great plays, and that's what you're looking for. The explosive plays, the deep ball, the broken tackles, the plays downfield. I think that's what Georgia showed, a lot more explosiveness out of their offense. And, of course, Tennessee did too. I'm very impressed with Tennessee's wide receivers and the way they moved the football. But for Georgia, we saw a little bit more of that talent that we didn't see quite as much on offense last year.
I agree, and I think Tennessee is in the mix, even with a loss. That offense with Joey Aguilar is going to be explosive the rest of the way. They could still be a 9 or a 10-win football team and still make the college football playoff. We saw the battle take place in Baton Rouge. LSU had won 5 of the last 6 against the Gators. It was an ugly game, lower scoring, but the LSU defense, Coach, steps up yet again. 5 interceptions against DJ Lagway. They take one to the house. They win it in cover 20-10. And right now, that defense looks like national championship caliber, but Garrett Nussmeier in that offense, a little bit inconsistent entering week number 4.
You know, and you're exactly right. I watched the post-game press conference with Brian Kelly. You may have, too. The first question he got was, what's wrong with your offense? And he blew up. He said, he blew up on the guy. We just beat him, won the game. And I'm thinking to myself, he's right. That's the wrong question for the first question after the game. But today's Tuesday. It's time for that question. What's wrong with that offense? They've got to get it going. Here's the problem with them. One, you've got to have more offense. But in the state of Louisiana, they compare everything to the last national championship. The team that averaged 458 yards a game, 48 points a game. Joe Burrow is the best quarterback in the country. And all they're asking Brian Kelly is, Brian, how come we don't look? We want to believe you. We want to love your quarterback. We want to believe you. But that's not what it looked like in 2019. They've got to get that offense cranked up, or this thing's it's going to turn a different direction. But like I say, not the first question to ask. But by midweek, we need to ask that question.
Well, there's been reports, and I do want to get your take, that Nussmeier has been battling a torso injury, and it's been coming out. They play Southeast Louisiana this week. Some people are sort of split. Would you start Garrett Nussmeier or go with the potential backup this week to maybe heal Nussmeier for week number 5?
Yeah, you know, the whole point is what's truth and what's not truth, and how bad is he hurt? Is he hurt or is he not hurt? Is it something he's got to work through? If he was banged up at all, they can win without. They don't need to play him if he's banged up at all. Get him well. because whatever's happening right now is not quite what you need down the stretch. So I would say if he is banged up, and I don't know the total truth to it, hold him out, get by that game, and get to the next one with a healthy Garrett Nussmeier.
When Coach and I return, we'll talk about the battle in South Bend, Texas A&M, and Notre Dame coming up next.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
All right, back on the Bowden Blitz SEC edition. Joe Lisi and Coach Bowden breaking down week three action in the conference. Left off talking about the two big performances in Knoxville. Georgia got the win over Tennessee, and LSU shut down Florida 20-10 in that battle. Coach, the most entertaining game outside the Georgia game took place in South Bend. Texas A&M walked in as a 6.5-point road underdog and wins it on basically the last play of the game, 41-40. They steal it against Marcus Freeman and Notre Dame. That was a dominating road performance offensively by Mike Elko and the Aggies. They're 3-0 right now and are potentially playing with house money the rest of the regular season.
Yeah, I did not think I could see a better game this past weekend than the Georgia Tennessee game, and then I watched the Texas A&M Notre Dame game, and to me it was one of those who'da thunk it games. Who'da thunk that the two quarterbacks throwing the football, the passing game, would be the biggest part of the game. Marcel Reed, I don't think I had any idea he could throw that ball. Now, he didn't throw 50%, but about 360 yards of completions and touchdowns and the winning touchdown at the end. It was an amazing football game. It wasn't about Notre Dame's running attack or Elko's defense or even Notre Dame's defense. It was about who was going to score the most points or make a mistake in the kicking game, because there were three big mistakes in the kicking game, and the last one ended up costing Notre Dame the game.
There were. Now, Marcel Reed accounts for basically 397 total yards of offense, to your point, 360 through the air, two touchdowns, one interception. He did rush for 5.3 yards per carry and 37 yards on the ground. So another dominating performance. I tell you what, the way he played, Coach, yeah, and has this team undefeated, we have to start talking about potentially Marcel Reed, Heisman Trophy dark horse right now. And when you think about just the progression of Texas A&M, let's not forget, we talked about the defense maybe not being as strong as it was last year, but this offense now is putting up consistently 40 points per game in back-to-back weeks. They're running the football with Le'Veon Moss. They could be a potential contender against the likes of Georgia and Texas, respectively.
I think you've got to put them in that category, just like we're starting to talk Georgia Tech in that category in the ACC. But you know what? If you had to see something shine, I think they know deep down that Mike Elko knows how to coach defense, that they're going to have a good defense. But they probably had no idea how well they could play offensively with the passing game and the running game against a team as solid defensively as Notre Dame is on the road, and how well Reed would play at quarterback. And so, again, it was a pretty incredible night of football that they had for them to come back and win that game the way they did, and the offense that they had. So Texas A&M, without a doubt, they're in that dark horse now, moving up now. So there's a lot of SEC teams now up top that are pretty dang good. It's a little less crowded in the ACC top three or four, but the SEC is pretty dang crowded up there. But Texas A&M, you kind of wonder just how good they can be, playing very well up in South Bend, and the way they played in that ball game. Now, I want to say this, that you never know how important the kicking game is. Because you remember, Notre Dame blocked a punt, scored by seven. Right. The very first series of the game, that could have been the game. And then Texas A&M returns a kick 99 yards for a touchdown that could have been the difference. They call that one back with a penalty. And then maybe the biggest mistake was bobbling a really nice snap on an extra point. Just the most basic thing in football is to handle the extra point snap. They bobble it, don't get the point, gives Texas A&M a chance to run down the field, score, and win the game.
Yeah, it is. And I think when you look at the conference odds at 13-1, it's still worth a shot entering week number four to take a shot if you're going to get that type of play out of Marcel Reed on the ground through the air. The consistency has been there now through 3 weeks. If Elko could coach up the defense, the Aggies potentially can be live the rest of the way. One team we don't see on those conference odds happens to be 3-0 and had a dominating road performance against South Carolina, and that's Vanderbilt. Yeah. Vanderbilt now in back-to-back weeks has knocked off Virginia Tech and South Carolina. They've won the games by an average margin of victory over the past couple of weeks of 24 points per game. They walk into Williams-Brice, one of the most difficult places to play, as a 3.5-point road dog, and they win it outright 31-7.
Yeah.
Diego Pavia playing very well. This team now could be potentially a contender in the conference.
I mean, I've become a believer, and I've got too much SEC background. My SEC background says, no, you can't recruit enough good players. You can only go so far. Vanderbilt's proven me wrong. I mean, South Carolina clearly should have better talent, but they dominated that football game in almost every statistical area. They dominated the game. And you might say, well, we lost Lenora Sellers in the second quarter, but you know what? I'm not sure that would have changed 2-1. It would have changed the score maybe, but I'm not sure that would have changed 2-1 the game, because South Carolina is not playing very well on the offensive side of the ball. Lenora has not had a great year, and we'll see where he goes down the road. But Diego Pavia, the entire Vanderbilt team, the spread offense option that they have, they're going to win a lot of ball games. Whether they can get up to – we've already talked about how thick the good players are at the top of the SEC, but they're going to knock off somebody that thinks they're going to win it.
And you think about last year, Vanderbilt, they knock off Alabama, right? They go toe-to-toe with Texas, lose it by three, cover the spread in both of those games, go into Baton Rouge, lose it by seven, but cover the spread. From the just the spread perspective, anytime Vanderbilt is catching points, Diego Pavia and this offense seem to perform. They're barking every time they're catching points.
Yeah, you know what? It's like, don't tell me I can't do this. Don't tell me I can't do that, because I'm going to go prove to you that I can. Well, that's Vanderbilt. That's Diego Pavia. That's the kind of confidence that he has and that team has, and how much they believe in their football coach. I love this story. I've always loved the Vanderbilt story, stuck in the middle of an SEC, see a big-time football programs, an academic school that finds a way to win. This one's pretty exciting. And they're going to, like I say, if they don't win the conference, they're going to knock off somebody that thought they were going to win the conference.
Clark Lee has done a fantastic job recruiting and bringing in transfer talent. He could be potentially a Coach of the Year candidate. We'll see how it plays out the rest of the way. When we come back, we'll turn our attention to week four in the SEC. Joe Lisi and Terry Bowden coming right back.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18+. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Back on the Bowden Blitz, Joe Lisi and Coach Bowden recapping week number three within the SEC. There were some wild games, and another one that went under the radar, Coach, took place in Oxford. We talked about the last 10 meetings between Arkansas and Ole Miss, averaging 72.9 points per game. Well, on Saturday night in Oxford, the teams combined for 76 total points. Ole Miss prevails 41-36. But I have to be honest, both of those offenses are electric and potentially can knock off some contenders within the conference this year.
That sure can. And Ole Miss, I think, has found they have two quarterbacks because with Austin Simmons not being able to play, Trinidad Chambliss came in and he played lights out. Yeah. And it's like they, and the guy's from Ferris State, which is a small college in the Detroit area. He goes in and plays lights out. And I think I'm wondering, which quarterback do I want to play? If Austin Simmons can go in this next big game they've got, do I play Chambliss? Do I play Austin Simmons? But like I said earlier, I think they have a lot of talent at Ole Miss. And when they go out there and play their game, they can play with almost anybody. But that was an outstanding football game. Arkansas is so close. It's one of those I just felt like at home Ole Miss was going to win that game. But Arkansas took it down to the wire.
And they did actually cover the 6.5-point closing number against Ole Miss. Chambliss did step up in that matchup, took over for Austin Simmons, to your point. The teams combined for well over 800 yards of total offense. And Tavon Green, Coach, again, 100-yard performance on the ground. He's going to take that into the Liberty Bell, right, for Memphis this week, one of the best stadiums in college football. Arkansas is on the road, a true road spot, taking on Memphis that is 3-0. Memphis was a 3.5-point road favorite to Troy that went toe-to-toe against Clemson 2 weeks prior. They shut them down. That was a dominating road effort out of the Memphis Tigers. Now here comes Tavon Green laying 7.5 points. This is a tough matchup. My heart says Arkansas, but I might take the points with Memphis in this ballgame.
I'm not there yet because, again, we haven't seen Memphis play anybody. UTC, they win 45-10. Georgia State and Troy, we just haven't seen the upper level of competition. Arkansas is going to be a different level, but I'm worried about the points too. But I just think Arkansas State played too well against Ole Miss. They were undefeated going into that game. And I think this is one where they will win the game, and I do think they'll cover this one. But like I said, Memphis, traditionally, they have been a good football team over the last couple of years, and they're probably a lot better than their opponents. Don't give you an indication of how good they can be.
And we talked about Ryan Silverfield, 3 straight years, potentially 10-win seasons. You know, he brings that type of success to Memphis. Taking over, he might not be there come next year. He's potentially going to be on the move to programs like Virginia Tech, we mentioned, you know, in break, and Memphis. This is a measuring stick to potentially challenge for, you know, that team in the college football playoff to be that group of 5 contender. Yeah. When we just talk about their odds at the start of the year, they were an 18-1 shot to potentially crack the college football playoff. This is a big game for Memphis, even though it isn't a conference game. You knock off an SEC opponent at home, a team that just put up 35 against Ole Miss. That's a pretty good look when it comes down to the playoff committee.
Yeah, and that's what they want to do. Not only does a head coach maybe aspire to be at that next level, but Memphis aspires to be in a conference, maybe Big 12, maybe a bigger conference down the road as this thing moves into different conference alliances. But Memphis has always been a city with a lot of great football players. I know Tennessee and Alabama used to fight recruiting wars in that city, but Memphis now with NILs and transfers, get a lot of kids to come back home. They have built a very athletic team, and you see it year in and year out. Memphis is one of the top group of 6 teams in America, and I think that's what they bring to the table this year. But like I said, I think Arkansas, they have a very good football team that is not quite the top level of the SEC, and it's going to be a whole new level of competition than what Memphis has seen so far this year.
Coach and I will break down that game later in the week as we enter Saturday afternoon. Another team and an intriguing matchup is Tulane, Ole Miss. Tulane, Coach, has lost 13 straight meetings to the Ole Miss Rebels. That team is 3-0, and John Summerall has them playing defense.
Oh, I love this game. I mean, Tulane ends up knocking off Duke. They were up to, 28-0 at the beginning of the game. Jake Ratzlaff is from BYU, ran for 4 touchdowns, threw for another one for 5 touchdowns, and they were all over Duke, which has a pretty good football team. And now they've beaten Northwestern, they've beaten Duke, and they've got their eye on Ole Miss. Ole Miss better watch out. I like the numbers, and I like the spread. I like the spread. I'd like Ole Miss to win, but I like those numbers for Tulane.
We'll be back later in the week, week number 4 within the SEC. For Terry Bowden, I'm Joe Lisi. Have a great day, everyone.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18+. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.